Okay, okay, so we're back here with the ASIC Wealth Management Report in PDF form. The history of this company is that in 1973, I took time off. I was working for, I was in the aerospace industry, working for Hughes Aircraft Company in California, and I took a leave of absence, which lasted for almost a year. And I sat down and my small apartment, and I discovered everything about T theory that is presently known. I typed it all up in a book, made 10 copies of it. It's called Principles of the Magic T, and decided that I didn't want to go back into engineering, and so I came back to my my home in Nantucket, Massachusetts, and I got set up and started my company, American Shareholders, in August 1974, which was very auspicious because the stocks were cheap, dividends were high on stocks. And by a fortunate set of circumstances, I went into the advisory business, and I did that for two or three years, and that was successful. T's worked fine. I knew about short-range T's, but I also knew about some that were 6 years in the value line unweighted index. And then I turned to, and then I found out that it was very difficult to get people to follow along with any kind of an idea because they were always going off on their own little bit. So we started managing money via mutual funds, mostly at Fidelity, and you can see on the left side of the report, most of the places that we are talking about are Fidelity funds as a result. And that started in 78, and it's continued to this day, and as long as I'm capable, and my business partner, Paula Burke, go on for the next 10 or 15 years. And during that time, of course, we've seen the old days were really great. Realized the 74 rally was coming in. There was a T in the value line index that said there was a top in September of 1980. So avoided the drop into the 82 low. The 82 low was very difficult because there was a lot of controversy going on there. But Peter Eliades and myself, we were just starting our companies at that time. We figured it all out by different reasons, and we prospered greatly in the great advance that came in the mega T, which was like 16 years down to 82, and had a top in March of 1998. During that time, I invented the advanced decline T's, which you see in last week's proto zones. And later, as we came to 98, I realized that there was this big T from the 87 low, which caused for the 2000 peak. And so I was very fortunate to be able to figure out that there was going to be a big peak there. After that, the great days were over because at that time, I understood that the stock market had gone completely over the top as far as irrational behavior and high PE ratios. And so I began to go into trying to figure out what I was going to do for the rest of my life when common stocks, which was the whole business was based on, it had become a problem. Well, what I did is I invented this thing called benchmarking, and benchmarking is nothing more than setting up a matrix. It's usually calendar years from 2000 and every year. And you look at different categories of investments and trying to find out what was the how to get out of the trap that the equities were overpriced. If you read through the which is really a summary because the clients know pretty much what we're doing anyway. You get one of these every month and it gets repetitive. What you found out when you went through this benchmarking process is that what people think as good investments isn't necessarily be borne out by this matrix, because there's a evolution that's taking place within the 40-year cycle coming down. And one of the conclusions that I had was that you could prove that if you had, instead of going from 2000 to the present, in terms of conventional equity thinking, if you went into what I called a best bond, the matrix came up with a strategy was called best bond. Best bond says that that you can go in an alternate route and you can make more money than you can ever expect the stocks to make for you if you don't know anything about T's. And it's very safe and it's very conservative. And the reason it works is because people are getting disenchanted with the stock market and they don't like to lose money, And so there is a movement to move in the 40-year cycle to come down to more of the Benjamin Graham value income-oriented site. And the first one I discovered was the Fidelity Capital and Income, was a dynamite fund that could produce over the first year and a half or 2 years of a bull market, it could produce an 80 to 90% return on your money if you could figure out where the double bottom was in the advanced decline line, because it's such a, it collapses so greatly going into the lows because it's a jump bond fund basically, but it comes all the way back. So it goes down, you lose more than half of its value going down into the low. And when you come out, you get a chance to buy something that's yielding like 10 to 15% because it looks like the junk bonds are going to fail. Well, if they make the bottom okay, which you're going to make sooner or later in the advanced decline line, what you do is you get an opportunity to double your money, almost double your money coming out, but you also have on your initial investment a huge yield. And what's happening is people want yield because they don't believe growth is going to work anymore. On the other hand, if your bull market goes long enough, there is some recovery in the, and I picked on the emerging markets and the Fidelity Communications because we have large matrices which we're working on, and it looks like the best one. In any case, today what I wanted to show you about, the interesting thing about the, is that it turns out that the best thing to do is to, as you look at things on an annual report, annual basis, that is by calendar 08, and then we're into 09, but you might as well just take the last 12-month total returns. And total returns means it's the price appreciation and the income. So you get down on the table on the left, you have 12,000 returns, and you have S&P equity total return. That means over the last 12 months, it's down 20%, including the dividends. Then you get down to, when you're doing benchmarking, what you do is you look at different kinds of people, different kinds of organizations, different categories of funds, different categories of countries, geographies. You look at inflation-protected bonds. You look at hard currencies. There's Merck hard currency down there. You can look at gold, and you look at gold bullion, you look at gold stocks, and you set these all up in a matrix, and then you watch them go through the advanced decline T's until you can figure out what's going on. So, for example, you have last 12 months, you're down to the S&P total return, which is all U.S. companies only, is down 20%. If you look at Matthews China, China's one of the real strong ones, but China's getting overbought now. And if you look at the emerging markets, down 29%. Well, there is that emerging market is going to catch up in some way, I think. So what you would do is if you started out in China, you go down to emerging markets because you think that it's, the thing is just, if you look at the statistics, emerging markets eventually comes around with the leaders and so forth. Now, the thing that's interesting is Warren Buffett was considered to be the greatest investor in the world over the long term, but he got caught into derivatives, and he's on margin and financial stuff, and so he's got a poor record of minus 15%. The better conservative person is Jean-Marie Evillard of SGENX. He's about ready to retire too, but he's a very, very conservative, owns a lot of gold bullion, owns a lot of high income stocks, owns a lot of value stocks and so forth. He's done really, really well. And he's a challenge to keep up with. Then you have my company, American Shareholders, was up 15%. That's because we knew about the top on the other side. So we knew about the top on the other side. So what you do is you don't get caught in the bear market, which is the other way you beat the bottom of themselves. If you come down to Vanguard Global Equity, is that one of my benchmarks that I use for, it's the whole world's big company stocks, big blue chip stocks, but it includes a lot of U.S. stocks, so it's down 26%. That's a benchmark, and that thing's a dog. And the question is, you think that thing will pull itself out, or is it just an indication that we're in a bear market rally? Then you have the intermediate term bonds. You have Merck hard currencies won't defend against the bear market. Inflation-protected bonds won't reflect it because you're in a deflationary period. And then you finally go down to the big crux of the problem at the bottom, which is the Case-Shiller-Holme Index. Over the last 12 months, that index at minus 17% says that people have lost 17% on the house. Now, if you get in the money management business, you'll find out that most people's wealth is in their home. So this being straddled with a 17% loss. And if you go back the previous year, you know, there was like 18%. So you've got almost a 30% loss in there, and you have to look at the people's wealth. Wealth is at home plus their stocks and so forth, and maybe something else if it's a business. And what you end up with is you begin to get a perspective that there's certain things you don't want to do if you want to try to make money. And that is, you don't want to follow some of these bad ideas that are being exhibited in subnormal performance. The number one is, you only believe that the market goes up in the side of the T's. That saves you. You have this. You can get into some trouble in a toppy pattern going into August of 2010. But, you know, I mean, you're not going to get caught in whatever that thing is going to be, because the T will be fairly obvious on and so forth. The question you really get into is, what's the best place to find the money? And when you do these, set up these matrices, and I'll show you how to do that in some later updates, what you find out is that there's patterns of profit within the advanced decline T's. And so what you do is you use the matrix to find out what looks like it's promising for the part of the business cycle. In other words, whether you're going down into the center post of the T, or you're coming out of the center post of the T, or whether you're at the top of the next T, and so forth, that evolutionary pattern. And then you go to something place like stock charts, and you actually begin to look at the concept of the advanced decline T as it applies to the particular sector. And in most of these cases, what you do is it's more convenient to go and get a fund quote from Morningstar, because they do the total return business. Stock charts will tell you what the price of the fund is, but they don't know what the dividend income is. So you can't compare bonds against growth stocks. Growth stocks, generally, it's all price appreciation with no dividends. They don't like to declare dividends. Whereas if you get into conservative investments, which is starting to happen, they'll start going for yield. So you get a miscue on the total return unless you go that way. But in any case, it's interesting, because if you look at this stuff, then you say, well, where do I fit? Well, I look at this table, and my job is to make sure that American shareholders doesn't look like it's a jerk on the whole thing. And I have higher readings against any of these people or any of these concepts. I think that almost everybody in here, except for Warren Buffett, they're not on margin. That's a cash basis company. Warren Buffett has got a problem with it, because he's got derivatives which give him about a 2-to-1 margin. I think it's a 2-to-1 margin. So the idea is, you don't want to fall in the trap of the inflation-protected bonds, because people say you're going into inflation because there's no performance there, and the hard currency doesn't look like it's doing anything. It still isn't doing that much. And I don't know about the global blue chips, because they don't seem to be doing anything. China's doing great, but it's probably getting to be overbought. And so what you do is you go through the process of elimination to find out where you want to situate yourself so that you fit into this matrix, which you kind of interpret as the performance within the advanced decline T, sector by sector, or person by philosophy, or whatever, and you eventually figure it out. And so what I was going to do is pass on to you the idea that when we go into this, you go through this thing of setting up a simple spreadsheet, look at some categories you're onto, and then you don't pontificate as I'm a big gold bug, or I'm a big bond bug, or I like emerging markets, or I like China, or whatever. What you do is you actually go through and sift through the list, and you discover what's going on. And if you keep doing this, sooner or later, you'll find something like capital and income, which is just a dynamite, overlooked thing that's hidden away from you, and it allows you to get high performance with very, very low volatility. That's what you're really looking for. See? Well, that's going to run out in another year, and you're going to have to come up with something else. So what we'll be doing is looking at what's the next thing, which I already discussed capital and income back in February when it was a good time. And what we'll do with the next time is for the next phase, we'll start setting up spreadsheets and taking a look at that, and then trying to integrate them into the advanced decline T's, which are, of course, the main forecast. And along the way, I'm sure we'll find a lot of discoveries. One of the things that I'm beginning to think now is that the recent big low for this advanced decline T could be the center post of a much larger T based on contrary opinion. And but I'm not real sure about that. It's not important to consider that now because that, you know, that has something to do with what happens beyond August of 2010. And so it's not a real big issue right here. It's not going to affect anything we're going to do. But it's a good idea. But you can start to sneak into that little area by using benchmarking as well. Okay, so that's it for today. So I had a time-consuming week here. And then next Sunday we'll be back with the, and we'll try to get on to some more things, including a lot of interesting stuff that viewers have sent in to me. Okay, so see you again next Sunday. Thank you very, very much for dropping in, and have a good week. Bye-bye.